This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Fun show for you today. Yesterday was a kind of a lean towards baseball for a little bit. Today is a heavy, heavy football lean, Wes. Good guess, and should be a great deal of fun.
You bet. Jeff Collins of Georgia Tech coming up here at about 8:15. Dave Clawson, the head coach of Wake Forest, and the Carolina sophomore quarterback, Sam Howell, before we're done by 10, and your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. I'm sorry, I'm laughing at something that was said pre-show by my partner here. You're unbelievable. 23rd anniversary of Tim Duncan being selected with the first overall pick by the San Antonio Spurs. And I got to tell you, Pack, in terms of number ones out of the ACC, Tim Duncan put together quite a worksheet now. Number one?
We're going to give you a list of the all-time number ones, all right, in terms of this league producing to multiple sports and professions. In my opinion, and again, this is up for debate, this dude's number one in terms of, hey, the number one overall pick, and what did you do when you finally went to the next level? When you look at Tim Duncan's accomplishments, Wes, they're nothing short of sensational. I mean, in every sense of the word. I mean, you know, never seemed to get in trouble, just showed up, played ball, won championships, had numbers, have rings. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, look at these. This is ridiculous. Number one, first of all, this is what he did at Wake. And again, his story, again, when we had Dave Odom on the show and he discussed the recruitment of Tim Duncan, and it just goes to show you with the recruiting rankings sometimes, people go, well, who's this Tim Duncan dude? Never heard of him. Well, he showed up, worked his tail off, had great skills, was open-minded to figuring out a way to be a better player, a better teammate. Again, I just like the way he kept his mouth shut and just played. He did that at Wake Forest and certainly did it at the next level. And look at this deal. I mean, we just talked about Vince Carter going 22 years and what an incredible run he had. But again, here's Tim Duncan, the overall number one pick. And look at those numbers. Enough said. Anybody that wants to argue about the ACC's overall number one pick, that's what you're going up against. And good luck making a case against Tim Duncan.
You would not put – now, five championships, when you start to think of guys that have won multiple championships at the professional level, Tim Duncan in five just kind of slides in there because you don't really think of Tim Duncan's name. You have Jordan, obviously, the sixth. Bill Russell won a ton. We all know that. But in the modern era, the last 25 years, Tim Duncan's five just kind of sneaks in there. Robert Horry is a guy who, you know, was a part of a bunch of those championship teams. But – all right, so Tim Duncan in the NBA. Now, remember this list. I want you to think about the ACC-affiliated players that have been taken number one overall. And we're going to talk about schools that are currently in the ACC. It starts in 1963 with the great Art Heyman being taken number one by the Knicks. David Thompson was drafted first in two leagues. He was drafted number one by the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA and number one by the Denver Nuggets in the ABA. And DT chose the ABA package, which also featured North Carolina's Bobby Jones, by the way. And David Thompson ends up having wins a scoring title, I believe, if I'm right, in the NBA pack, not in addition to being one of the great college players of all time. And oh, there he is playing in the old North-South doubleheader at the Chrome Dome for you, Pac. David Thompson was the first overall number one pick. A year later, the ACC had John Lucas out of Maryland who was taken number one. James Worthy, 82. Ralph Sampson, 83. Brad Daugherty, 86. Purvis Ellison, 89. Derek Coleman, 90. I mean, it's crazy. Now, I don't know when the draft occurs in the NBA side later this fall, how that's going to shake out after Zion was taken number one last year by the Pelicans. But in basketball, the ACC's got a phenomenal first pick tradition. There have been six, if you count the Miami and the Virginia Tech guys, six overall number ones in the ACC. The last was Jameis Winston in 2015 by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll mention Jameis Winston here later in our show, too, by the way. But Mario Williams of NC State was the only other player since Michael Vick in 2001 to be taken overall number one out of the ACC. Major League Baseball, Pat Burrell of Miami in 98 was the last one. MLS, Robbie Robinson was just selected number one pack in 2020 by Inter Miami. And Jackie Young of Notre Dame a year ago by the Las Vegas Aces in the WNBA. So there is some recent number one history across the ACC.
Great names, and I don't care how old you are. I guarantee when you go through the list of the number one picks from the ACC, you'll go, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. But you cannot, in my opinion, cannot argue. And again, this is not a conversation of what you did in college. This is now the opposite. What did you do taking it to the next level? I think Tim Duncan's numbers speak for themselves. And the fact that you mentioned, Wes, you know, five championships, to me, it's the perfect combination because, you know what? He won and he kept his mouth shut. It wasn't about hype. It wasn't about flash. It was all fundamentals. It was just playing the game. It's almost opposite of what you have in this day and age where the louder you talk, the more you scream, the more noise you can make. If you can be a lightning rod on social media, that gets all the attention. Well, this dude was the exact opposite, and that's why I loved his game because he just showed up. He gave it to you every single night. He played. He scored. He rebounded. Didn't make any noise. He just won. And, man alive, what an incredible career. And for a guy, again, understated when he was recruited at Wake, worked, won, went to the next level, enough said. I think he is by far the number one pick from the ACC. I don't even think it's even close.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think he's a phenomenal number one in terms of not only longevity but impact, and really kind of sets standard for going about it in a way that is truly professional, as you mentioned. I think that's the piece that. And think about it, plays for Dave Odom. He's drafted the Spurs. I think Larry Brown is coaching the Spurs when he's drafted. And he ends up thriving for Greg Popovich. So much so that now he's an assistant, if you will, on the Spurs staff. And I got to be honest with you, one of the last guys I ever thought would be interested in coaching is Tim Duncan. And I thought Dave Odom had some great comments with us about him coaching now when he visited with us back during the celebration of Wake's ACC championship 25 years ago. And it's just remarkable what he accomplished in the NBA as a player. And I'm kind of curious to see how his impact as a coach now will kind of forge his next step in basketball, if you will.
I just think he's the total package. He does great community service work on top of that. But again, he's one of those guys. The thing I love about him the most was he was so understated in the way he played. And again, he was in the off season. You never heard from Tim Duncan during the year. There was never any kind of gripes about, man, he's not getting me the ball and all that stuff. And again, I don't know what happens behind closed doors because I'm not part of that part of the world, but you just knew that every time you took on a Tim Duncan team, whether it was at Wake Forest or in the NBA, you knew what you're going to get from every night. His consistency was great. And like I said, when you put up his numbers, I don't know who's going to sit there and say, hey, no, Pack, you're dead wrong, man. Here's the answer. And again, all these guys, I mean, James Worthy had an incredible career, did his thing. Ralph, we just had on the show when we did the Michael Jordan special. You just rattled through all these names from a basketball perspective. You mentioned the six names in football. Bruce Smith, incredible player. I mean, great player. But again, Virginia Tech wasn't in the league when he played in the mid-80s, but sensational. But again, all these dudes, when you're a number one overall pick, I don't care if it's soccer, football, basketball, whatever, you're a dude. I mean, you can flat out play. But of all of them in the ACC, I think that if you sat there and you were having a couple cold beverages with your buds and you said, all right, we're going to pick one tonight, I think at the end of the day, I just don't know how you go against what Tim Duncan accomplished. I just don't know how you do it.
No, I agree with you. I think the other guy you have to look at that was taken first overall that had a similar career, at least from my standpoint, would be somebody like James Worthy, right?
Yeah.
Who, a successful player at college at Carolina, National Player of the Year in 1982, then goes to the Lakers with the first overall pick, does not win the 83 title. That went to Philadelphia, who beat the Lakers. But then a year later, Worthy and the Lakers come back and are able to battle Boston in an NBA final. He goes to two NBA finals before they win an NBA finals. And by the way, he's the outstanding player of the finals when the Lakers finally win with James Worthy in the lineup. So, I mean, you're talking about guys that won championships, ACC championships, national championships in Worthy's case, and then went on and won world titles. That's pretty significant, I think, Pac. I mean, you know, when you think of guys, I think Worthy's on that list of national championships and NBA titles. Danny Green is on that list out of the ACC. There's some Duke players that are on the list. I think Shane Battier falls under that category too. So that's a short list of players, and certainly that distinguishes them professionally as well.
And Worthy, let's be honest too, not only was he a great player, not good, great player, mm-hmm. he was also in an era on a great team, right? And that's the perfect combination. Again, those Laker teams of the 80s, for folks that were old enough, man, I tell you what, Showtime was something now. I mean, you had the Boston blue collar nonsense going on over there. You got the LA folks out there. It was a complete contrast, but so much fun to watch, going back to that era. Then, of course, here comes Jordan. Here comes the Pistons, and, the rest is history. All that stuff's been documented. But, listen, these are the 1% of the 1% dudes, right? This is, when you get to this list now, these are all folks that can flat out get it done. But I just think that if you're going to make a true 1-2-3 list, it's got to start with Tim Duncan, my opinion. So there it is.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. By the way, I want to give there is a WNBA player who, and I know the league has been sidetracked. I think they're going to restart down in Bradenton at IMG. I want to give Angel McCautry of Louisville, who went into the Hall of Fame at the University of Louisville, a little love here, because I got to tell you now, she was drafted overall number one by an expansion team when the Atlanta Dream took her back in 2009. And she has had a remarkable WNBA career. Like a lot of those players, has experienced basketball internationally as well. But Angel McCautry has had a remarkable professional career in the United States, let alone a remarkable professional career period. She's been on Olympic teams and things of that nature. Of the list of ACC players, Lindsey Harding was the number one pick, McCautry, Jewel Lloyd, Jackie Young in 2015-2019 out of Notre Dame. But, man, Angel McCautry's been a consistent all-star in the WNBA, first-team all-league, that type thing. And Louisville's got a lot to be proud of with her performance, certainly at the next level, too.
Like I said, it's the 1% of the 1%. You go through this list, it's an impressive list from the ACC. There's no question.
All right, ready to get going on a Football Thursday. This is almost like, if you didn't know better, if you didn't know this was June, Pac, this is almost like it's the second Thursday in October, isn't it? I mean, we got Dave Clawson, Sam Howell, and when we come back, we'll go to the ATL and check in on the 404 with Jeff Collins, who's going to join us. Georgia Tech has brought some players back on campus. What's that been like? And also, how does he foresee this unfolding? Packer and Durham on a Thursday morning here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Heavy football coming your way. Sam Howell, North Carolina quarterback, next hour. Dave Clawson, head football coach, Wake Forest. But right now we go from basement to basement to basement, and we bring on the head football coach of your Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Coach, we got the signed helmet ready to roll right here, baby. Not everybody's got one of those bad boys right there hanging around the house.
There it is.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. My basement's not quite as nice as yours, Pac.
Well, you know, listen, you know, you didn't have ESPN put $500,000 into it either. So it's a whole different story.
Right.
So what's going on in pandemic life? You finally got the guys on campus. So what's that? I mean, it's got to feel good to get everybody around the campfire, get a little vibe going around the building. So what's it feel like?
Yeah, no doubt. We've been very intentional how we're doing it. You know, we're back in phase one. There's about 20 guys that are in phase one. Phase two starts rolling in on Saturday. Just really excited to see the guys. Wes, you knew me back when I was a graduate assistant here at Georgia Tech and did some graduate work in organizational psychology, and never knew that I was going to use it as much as I have over the last 3 months.
Well, that's the part I want to ask you about, because I know how much of a detail guy you are and right. How much systems work for you and all the things. And full disclosure, we had Lou Carolla on, you know, a week or so ago, and he was talking about getting guys into a strength program and understanding the mechanics and all this. I want to know how the head coaches handled all of this, because there's a lot going on here. I mean, there's the spring recruiting, there's tape evaluation, there is kind of where are you? You've got this recruiting class I knew you're excited about, and you bring 19 starters back. So how do you level this off, Jeff?
Wes, that sounds like a lot, man. So, yeah, we've been juggling a lot. I'm blessed that I've got an unbelievable coaching staff, from our strength staff to operations to our full-time coaches that have done a great job engaging and inspiring our team during this time. And just it's constant communication. I think the steps that we've taken in building our culture, the relationships, the love, the trust that we have in our organization has really helped us, I dare say, flourish over the last 3 months. And it's just going to be really good to see them back together again here over the next few weeks.
Coach, I'm watching these highlights of that beautiful green grass there at Bobby Dodd.
Right.
We had Roddy Jones on. He's like, Pac, I can't believe we're getting rid of the green grass. So what's the new turf like?
Yeah, well, it's still in the process. Hopefully by the end of July it'll be ready. Wes knows our setup. Our practice fields are a little over a quarter of a mile away. So just the efficiency that we need to use on Sundays and Mondays, and even some of our Thursday and Friday setups, being able to go out back and use the facility, enhance our training program. Our strength staff does an amazing job. And just for them to be able to go right outside of the weight room on the Bobby Dodd Stadium Grant Field is going to be a huge advantage for us efficiency-wise, and just give us more space to increase the workload to help our players.
Hey, Jeff, I got some insight the other day that what you're getting installed is the top of the line and in some ways brand new technology, because like most field turf or artificial turf systems now that simulate grass that have the rubber pellets in it, you're not going to have the rubber pellets in it.
Right.
This is going to be a field that's a lot cooler. They're going to use coconut husk, as I understand.
Yep.
I mean, there's some really 21st century stuff going into this, right?
Yeah, and one of the cool things, too, is I think our grounds crew does an amazing job. And the surface that we've been playing on the last couple of years is one of the top in the country. This turf is actually specifically designed and engineered to play exactly like the previous surface. But we'll be able to use it 365 days a year. It dissipates heat, and hopefully will help prevent injuries. And it'll be really good for our student athletes.
Coach, you know what? Let me just say something. It's 8:21 in the morning. I had a gentleman yesterday comment that Wes Durham was the Anthony Fauci of Packer and Durham, and then he drops coconut husk on us in an interview 20 minutes into the show. I, if somebody had coconut husk, you were a winner, because I don't think that phrase has never been uttered in 158 shows, coconut husk.
Hey, tell them, Collins, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what it is. And it's going to be really good. We're excited about it as a coaching staff, and excited for our players to be back. And once it's finished, to be out there in this new phases that we're going to be going through beginning on July 2nd, where we can do walkthroughs and those kind of things. We'll be able to do them right out on Grant Field and Bobby Dodd Stadium.
I'm going to just say one thing, Coach. If I walk into a Waffle House and they don't have coconut husk on the menu, I'm not going for it. I'm going to just take your word for it on this one before we get really into it. But, I that whole Waffle House thing, that you and I bonded on that bad boy, and I have never seen coconut husk at a Waffle House.
Yep.
Oh, wait.
I got a custom mug. I don't know if y'all can see it. Yeah, one of our players' moms got me this mug. So 404 Takeover.
I love it.
Yeah,
so it's all good.
I like it.
I love it.
Hey, I want to do a compare and contrast here for a moment. A year ago, when you opened against Clemson at Frank Howard Field in Death Valley, there was a possibility you could play four different guys at quarterback. When you open against Clemson this year on September 3rd, is there a possibility you're going to play four different guys at quarterback?
Yeah, Wes, you know we never tip our hand around here. One of the neat things, though, too, about the development of the quarterback position, Dave Patenaude, who does a great job for us running our offense and coaching our quarterbacks, has been able to spend so much time with those guys in Zoom meetings, teaching them the offense, teaching them coverage, really going down for 3 months, every single little phase of being an elite quarterback in our system. And I think the development of that position in the midst of a pandemic is going to be through the roof. We're excited about them. We had 6 practices. Both freshmen that we signed were here in January, so they got to get a head start. And just really excited. Obviously, James Graham played really well down the stretch. Jordan Yates got some meaningful snaps late in the season as well. And then we signed 2 of the best quarterbacks in the country to come join us. So it's an exciting time. That's an exciting position to help us move forward.
All right. You mentioned Jeff Sims and Tucker Gleason, so that's the 4. Have we declared a position for Tobias Oliver this year? Is that
yes.
Something that you and Patenaude are in the chemistry lab looking at?
Well, I'm the head coach, and I also coach the DBs as well. And I made an executive decision, and Tobias was the one who initiated it to come play corner. And through 6 practices and an entire offseason, he did an amazing job. And really excited about his skill set, his competitiveness, his attitude, his length, his speed, and just how hard he plays and what a competitor he is. I think he's going to be one of the top corners in college football.
Coach, I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit, a little ACC on ACC conversation. You come rolling in from Temple. We just talked to Pat Kraft the other day. He's now taking over as the Boston College Athletic Director. We really enjoyed our visit with him. What else can you tell us about the BCAD?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have enough time in the show to say all the accolades and how strongly I feel about Pat Kraft. He gave me my first head coaching job. You can see the jersey in the background, and Pat Kraft is actually in that frame as well. But a dear friend. We won a lot of games together, and the way that he runs his athletic department is top notch, and proud of him as a friend, and just excited for our conference that we get somebody like Pat Kraft in the league.
Jeff, it's also interesting too, and you kind of started this along with some ADs, and now we've got Jeff Hafley and Mike Norvell in the league. Again, guys who you're familiar with in one route or another. And you also, as you mentioned at the top, were a GA in this league. Does it feel like the ACC, despite the veteran presence of a guy like David Cutcliffe and certainly Dabo, who's had great success at Clemson, Max returned to Chapel Hill, does it feel like the ACC is really starting to hit its second wave, if you will, of football prowess?
Yeah, I think so. And that just we've been throughout the last 3 months having ACC head coaches calls almost once a week. And just to sit there in that room or virtual rooms with those guys and just the knowledge and the experience and the level of care that we all have for our players and for the advancement of the ACC is really special. I've gained a lot of respect for every man that's in positions of leadership in this league and, just really excited for the future.
All right, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you a question. I started off by showing you, of course, the signed helmet that you brought when you were hanging out with us here in our basement.
Right.
And I know I'm not going to probably get an answer here, but I'm going to ask it. You have done a great job of the brand, the culture, the 404. There's always something cool. I've said last year during every press conference, every time we had the coaches' press conferences, I said, man, there's always something new with Collins. He's got something up his sleeve. We talked about that whole marketing aspect, which I'm always fascinated with. Can you give us a subtle hint on maybe something you're working on
just
that we can
one.
Expect for Georgia Tech into 404 from a branding perspective?
There's just so something. Much. I mean, we partner with J1S, which is one of the top marketing firms in the country. They did great things with the University of Oklahoma. They've now partnered with us. And so I think in the fall you'll see some really cool rollouts. I can't tell you too much because some of them are almost too cool. I would not do them justice. But the other piece is we partnered with Jeremy Darlow for our players' brands to really help them enhance how their presence is on social media and so that they can do big things as well. You know, we talk about the Georgia Tech brand a ton, and we'll get a lot of exposure that way. But we're also committed to developing our players' brands at a very, very high level as well. And that's where the Jeremy Darlow piece comes in. And he's done a great job communicating with our guys and helping them, even though we've been apart, building their brands on social media as well.
Hey, one final thing here. Georgia Tech led the way in something during this time that I think is fascinating. And it also occurred, you know, with the social injustice and all the things that our country's been going through in the last 3 weeks or so. Nell Fortner, Eric Reveno, and then you also got into the momentum and the movement of getting November 3rd as this national day for student athletes to vote. How important was it to see that germinate within the walls of the building, and also to see the reaction from student athletes and colleagues across the country, Jeff, about this opportunity for student athletes to get out and vote?
Right. So whenever all the we started having all these conversations with our players, and we would have small group settings, and we were being very transparent, you know, how we could possibly affect our community, you know, how we could affect change in the world, how we could play our part for the social injustice. And, you know, one of the pieces that came up with our guys was, you know, making sure we understand, you know, our right to vote, and we need to make that a priority. And then both of our basketball staffs began this initiative, and, you know, I ran it by our players, the leadership group, and they wanted to be a part of it. So I reached out to Todd Stansberry that we want to be an active member, that we want to give our players the day off on November 2nd to vote. And we wanted to be fully supportive and fully engaged, obviously, in our student athletes and the Georgia Tech athletic community. And I think it's even grown. You know, I see the tweets and the social media posts about other schools and other conferences joining in. And it's really, really positive to be at a school and to be around people that have the same common set of values that you do. And, you know, when you have that, you know, you can do really special things. And that's what we're trying to do every single day here.
All right. Well, once again, you delivered the goods. Right, Pat?
Always. Always. Collins is always an easy 15 minutes. That's what it is. It's an easy quarter. That's what we may just call it. An easy quarter with Jeff Collins. Every time he comes on
the show.
There
we go.
Jeff Collins. That's it. Yeah, the next segment. The next segment will be easy quarter with Jeff Collins.
I'll get Mark
Brandy. Best
to
your family, my man.
There he is. I like it.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Jeff Collins, the head football coach at Georgia Tech with Packer and Durham this morning. Our thanks to him. Always fun to catch up, and the enthusiasm and the excitement he's got. And I think you're good. How many quarterbacks do you think you see opening night, by the way? Just come on. Last year was three. You think all four play opening night?
No. No, I don't. You know, I think that last year, new coach, new program. Hey, congratulations. You get to go play Clemson to start things up. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a worst case scenario from that perspective. I think the program's developed enough that I don't think he will play four. I don't. I think maybe two. I'll go with two for the opening.
Yeah. All right. Well, September 3rd, Thursday night, Grant Field, Bobby Dodd Stadium. Hello again, football fans. ACC football. That'll be night two, by the way, as we found out, right, earlier this week. That'll be night two of ACC football. NC State, Louisville now on a Wednesday night. When Packer and Durham come back, a historical look at maybe some programs that are underappreciated from an ACC football perspective. You know how good Clemson's been with Deshaun Watson. But underappreciated if you put it in groups of years. We'll come back and look at that.
Packer and Durham.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Again, many thanks to Jeff Collins, who just joined us. Coming up top of the hour, Dave Clawson talking about Wake Forest football. And not quite, 55 minutes away from Sam Howell, the outstanding quarterback from the University of North Carolina. So looking forward to all those gentlemen, a heavy, heavy football show. And that includes our next segment, Wes, when we start talking about the big picture as far as the ACC and college football.
Yeah, and this kind of germinated off some stuff over the last couple of days, and you were kicking this around the other day, and I started thinking, well, okay, yeah. And then we started grouping eras together, right? And that's one of the things that I think we've come about is how do these eras work? Because if you go back 150 years, a lot of different things can happen. But is 20 enough? Is 25 enough? Is 50 too much? You know, so I thought you found the sweet spot here.
Well, I don't know if I found the sweet spot. There were some folks that were barking about it on another show, and it piqued my interest that we started messing around with numbers. And you know how we get when we start goofing around with numbers, it puts things in perspective, and it's kind of like, what have you done for me lately? But anytime you try to compare eras, it's almost impossible. The games change, players have changed, the rules have changed. So we took a sample size of the last 30 years of college football, really since 1990 when Georgia Tech won to share the national championship through this last season. That's basically 30 years, 1990 to 2020. And we started breaking down numbers in terms of wins, big picture of where does the ACC teams fall from a national perspective. So that's how we got started on this. And it was kind of interesting because a lot of times people have an agenda and they have a narrative. And all of a sudden, when it gets disproven, people lose their minds. They go, oh, whoa, that doesn't really count. So we were just sitting there going, hey, we'll be part of the conversation. So we just took a look at the last 30 years on a number of different categories. And we'll start off with wins, for argument's sake, and who's gotten the job done in terms of W's and L's in the world of college football, again, since 1990. And we're going to throw some stuff up on the screen here that just kind of puts things in perspective of how some ACC teams are doing. And, you know, this, again, I always like to call these bar bets, right? This is when you can impress your buddies and go, hey, by the way, man, the last 30 years, can you name the three teams that won the most games of college football? Well, you know, if you said Ohio State, Alabama, and Florida State, you would be a winner. But there might be a lot of people that would not throw Florida State in there. Ohio State, yeah, you get it. Alabama, yeah, you get it. But they're the Noles sitting right there. And I know the last couple of years haven't been great. But you know what? And again, big picture, over the past 30 years is a pretty good litmus test in terms of sample size. Florida State's doing just fine. And then, of course, you go down that list, you see Clemson, you see Virginia Tech. Again, you start talking about the top 10 from that perspective in the last 30 years, you got three ACC schools sitting right there front and center.
By the way, the list does include vacated wins because they were games that were played, so it's only fair and balanced to put every win in there and total records. And you see the number, I think the surprising thing to me is Ohio State has won a national title, obviously. Won one with Jim Tressel, won one with Urban Meyer. But when you think of programs that have dominated the last 30 years, certainly Ohio State and Alabama are up there, Pac. But I'm surprised the 16 wins between Ohio State and Alabama is the first thing that caught my eye because I thought it would be closer, to be quite honest with you, in terms of most wins.
Well, again, we've got ACC on the brain, but I think in regards to your question, I make this point all the time on the radio show. You know, Nick Saban's been fantastic. You can't argue. The guy's incredible, right, what he's done in this day and age of 85 scholarships. But there was a time in this century that you couldn't wait to schedule Alabama for homecoming. I mean, everybody goes through highs and lows. And again, I didn't mention Florida State. I mean, the Noles, Bobby Bowden's run through the 90s was unbelievable. Jimbo Fisher wins a national championship in the last of the BCS era. People go through highs and lows. Everybody on that list has been through one. And I'm just telling you, it never stays the same. But again, if you're talking about, hey, give me the top 10 in the last 30 years. There they are. And there, like I mentioned, there are three ACC programs on that list. So, again, puts things in perspective. And really where this thing got started, and I'll give full credit here, Colin Coward, who was with ESPN, now is with Fox, and I like him a great deal. I think his show's terrific. But he was making a claim the other day about USC being on a list. He's adding Bama and Ohio State and Oklahoma. And when I heard USC, I about fell off my chair. And this is not one of those guys screams the loudest, gets the most attention. He really does follow football. And I know that for a fact, college football. But you can't put, I mean, I didn't see USC's name on that list. Did you? I didn't see it.
No.
And I think when you start going through this list of the last 30 years, you're going to be amazed of how few times you see USC in that argument. So that's really what spearheaded us saying, all right, let's just take a snapshot of real the real world is and perceptions versus reality. And I think this is sometimes something the ACC has to fight is perception, right? There's a narrative, oh, it's Clemson and nobody else complaining. You know, hey, you know what? At some point in time, you got to get the facts. You got to look into it a little bit deeper than, hey, Clemson's in there every year and they never get tested. Well, that means the league stinks. Well, that's lazy. That's, in fact, not only is it lazy, it's stupid. And so that's why when you start going through some of these numbers, again, bar bets, here are the facts. Now you make a deal and say, hey, I can make a case for A, B, and C. So that's kind of where we're going on this.
Yeah, by the way, we're going to shift the category here, and we're going to go to most 10-win seasons in the last 30 years. Now, some of the names are going to stay the same. You're going to see some new faces in there. But Virginia Tech's legacy with Frank Beamer, I think, really shows here, Pac, don't you?
No question. And again, like everybody on this list, you go through highs, you go through lows, especially when your snapshot is 30 years. But again, you're not surprised at the top after we gave you the number of wins. Obviously, you got to acquire them somehow. You know, maybe a team like Boise State would surprise some people, which makes that Florida State-Boise State game on the road, on the blue turf, interesting coming up this fall. But a lot of the household names, I think a team like TCU would probably surprise folks being in there as often as they did. But the Hokies with a 14 spot, that's pretty strong now. I don't care who you are.
Yep. The TCU, by the way, Gary Patterson not only has done a sensational job. Remember, Dennis Franchione did a great job there too, Mark. There's no doubt about that. He's the one that had LaDainian Tomlinson. Interesting to see Boise State on there. I think you're your man Dan Hawkins when I see Boise State on there, don't you?
Well, Hawk's a good buddy of mine. He's now at his alma mater at UC Davis doing his thing. But, you know, Brian Harsin's a tremendous coach. And I know Boise State was in the news this week.
Yes, he is.
COVID-19, the school shut down entirely, including the voluntary workouts. But I'm going to just tell you, when you go out there to play, you better be ready to go. I know Virginia went out there a few years ago and spanked them pretty good, which was really unusual. They don't lose there very often, and that's why I mentioned with Florida State, Mike Norvell, new coach. West Virginia's a big game, no doubt, but that road trip to Boise State, especially what happened last year when that game got moved from Jacksonville to Tallahassee and the Noles got off to the big start and then lost the game. I think there's probably a bunch of dudes down there in Tallahassee that remember that game, but that'll be a really, really interesting non-conference game in September.
All right, last category we'll take in this segment is the national championships in the last 30 years. And this is, again, where, you know, and I respect what Colin was trying to do the other day, but this is where the ACC in the last 30 years. Now, granted, Miami's came as an independent or member of the Big East. Clemson certainly here recently. Florida State, all three of theirs have fallen in membership of the ACC, I believe, if I'm right, except maybe one. Two of them for sure. But Pac, Alabama's got six. And the league pretty well represented right there, for sure.
Finally, we see USC, and that was really the point of all of this, that you just can't put them in the Big Four automatically when, quite frankly, they just haven't gotten it done. And then Pete Carroll was a brilliant coach, great coach. They had incredible teams, but they also had NCAA probation thrown on them. So, I like Colin a great deal, but there's no way in the world you put USC in the top four of his argument. But nevertheless, all those teams, I mean, really impressive. And again, the ACC well represented in these snapshots. And I just bring that up that it's not just Clemson and everybody else in this league.
All right. By the way, a week ago on this show, we talked about players that we thought might potentially surprise people in the ACC this year. And it took off after we did the segment on social media to the point where we started listing other players. So gather around the screen here in the next segment, because now we're going to talk about under-the-radar players. Now, we'll qualify this when we come back, but there are a handful of guys in the ACC that are you thinking about them right now? And if you're not, you might want to, by the time the ball goes on the tee. We'll do that when Packer and Durham continues on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, the head football coach of your Wake Forest Demon Deacons, that would be Dave Clawson. Sam Howell in about 40 minutes or so. Look forward to both those gentlemen being on. Thanks again to Jeff Collins. Again, you can call us too, by the way, at 844-SAY-ACCN. 844-SAY-ACCN. All right, under the radar players, Wes, this will always grab somebody's attention. Listen, doesn't matter what we say. Somebody's going to say, no, man, you guys are nuts. Right. Well, here, get ready for your you guys are nuts segment right here.
Real quick, before we do this, I want to remind folks, and I teased this earlier about Jameis Winston when we were talking about first-round overall picks, right? Tonight, 6 o'clock, Pack, on the Instagram Live, available on the ACC Network account on Instagram, which I know you've been a part of with me at times. I know you enjoy that, right?
I really do. Excellent. I mean, you're the Anthony Fauci of Packer and Durham. I mean, who wouldn't have a good time
stop.
Doing that?
Stop. Just stop. Stop it. Stop it. Tonight on the ACC's ACC Network Instagram account, EJ Manuel and Jameis Winston live at 6 o'clock for Florida State trivia. That'll be actually a lot of fun. EJ and Jameis, two great Florida State quarterbacks, and they're going to pose trivia questions. You answer right there on the IG. It's easy and fun for everybody, and that'd be pretty good right there. I mean, a Heisman Trophy winner, now a member of the New Orleans Saints, and our own EJ Manuel. 6 o'clock tonight on the ACC Network's Instagram account. Be a part of it.
When are we going to do one of those? We need to do one of those soon. They never ask us to do one. I wonder why that is.
No. They ask me to do it. They don't ask you to do it.
I'd be more than happy to do another one with you anytime you want.
All right, well, maybe we'll do another one. We might have just walked ourselves into that.
That's okay, but I can't do it from 4 to 6. I'm busy from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, but if you want to do one at night, I'll be more than happy to do if anything for you, Doc.
All right. Great. Is this going to be a thing for a while?
I think it is.
Take this through the summer?
I was told from the marketing department that the Anthony Fauci of Packer and Durham, and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to use that line. And I've used it 3 times already.
Good. Nice. All right. Under the radar players in the ACC, and we'll welcome your calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. Now, let me preface some of this by saying, if you follow a certain team, we're not going to surprise you. You're going to say, well, wait a second. How's that guy not? That guy's not under the radar. He might not be to you if you follow that team, but he might be to somebody that follows another team in the ACC. Right, Pack?
Correct. Again, this will cause a problem. I can already tell, given what happened last week.
Sure.
When you start talking about, you know, players you're looking forward to watch and all that stuff. So we will give you some guys that if you're an ACC fan, just, you know, you write these down and you wait and see. We believe these guys are going to surprise you this year. And they're already good players, but maybe taking it to another level. That's kind of where we're going, taking it to another level for 2020.
Well, and by the way, we're going to start with a guy who is going to get a lot more time on the field this year. He emerged at the end of last year for Bronco Mendenhall in Virginia. And that's the linebacker, Noah Taylor. I think that if you get into this list and you start thinking about what Virginia lost defensively, you look at the linebacking spot, and while Charles Snowden, I think, is going to be one of the best players in the league, Taylor is he's a playmaker. And again, a lot like a Snowden, not as big, obviously, height-wise, but a guy who plays well in space, and I think Noah Taylor is a guy who could have a big impact on what Virginia could do this year defensively for sure.
Yeah, you put your list together, and it's funny. When I saw your list and I compared it to what I had, we checked off a lot of the same boxes, which is very unusual And I'm going to let you go through the most of your list, and I'm going to add three or four at the end here if we have time that I think you can
okay.
on this list. So go ahead.
I think, well, and the next one for me is James Mitchell at Virginia Tech, who I think if Hendon Hooker continues on his path to progress at quarterback, Justin Fuente's team has a big year. It'll be a lot because of a guy like Mitchell, who I think, remember Bucky Hodge a couple of years ago at tight end pack? The Hokies have seemingly had good tight ends now for the last decade. And I think Mitchell is a versatile guy who can line up in a lot of different ways, handle the ball in different ways. And, he could be a real, real star in this league. Everybody knows how good Brevin Jordan is at Miami and the tight ends at Duke. But, I look at Mitchell as a guy who is who's a real playmaker for what they want to do in Coach Cornelson on offense. Georgia Tech, Jeff Collins has got a couple of these guys. Now, he mentioned Tobias Oliver moving to corner. Well, they've already got a really good corner on the other side, and that's one of my under-the-radar guys. And then I think they've got an impact guy at safety in the middle of the field. And that's the combination of Trey Swilling and Wanye Thomas. I think when Georgia Tech, if they get better defensively this year, these guys will have a lot to do with it. I think their front is improving. But in the secondary, they're rock solid, and Trey Swilling has had a fine career at Georgia Tech. I think Wanye Thomas, number one, is a really good player. I mean, that's a heck of a play there when you think about it in the ball game against Pitt. Thomas has had a flair for that, and I think he's a guy that you look at and say, okay, here's somebody you can build around. Charlie Thomas will be another guy at Georgia Tech, I think, who's made a lot of plays as well the last couple of years. Duke has got a guy, Eric Wood and Roddy Jones, and I saw Chris Rumpf late in the year, and I thought after they lost some guys on their defensive line, lost some guys at linebacker, I thought Chris Rumpf was a guy who just took that opportunity and made the most of it. Matt Guerrieri and Ben Albert, who run that defense, did a good job of moving him around. But I think Chris Rumpf's got the kind of potential this year to have a breakout season for David Cutcliffe and the Blue Devils. And then the last guy on my list is a guy who, you know, you talk about the quarterback change at Wake Forest and all the things that are going to happen there, and Basham being back, Surratt being back at wide receiver. If Kenneth Walker continues on the tear he had last year, Wake's run game will help Sam Hartman a ton, and the Deacons will be right back to kind of up in the bowl consideration, among other things. I think Kenneth Walker really did have a fine season a year ago, and he's one of those guys that unless you follow Wake Forest, you're not thinking about today. You're not thinking about Kenneth Walker, but by the time you play Wake Forest, you'll be thinking about Kenneth Walker, because I think he's got a chance to have a really good year for Coach Clawson.
You know, you mentioned Chris Rumpf, Wes. I think he is on the verge of stardom. Don't you? I think he's one of those guys that, you know, I think Duke knows exactly what they have. I think when you play Duke, you say, man, where's Rumpf? He's making plays all over the place. It would not surprise me of that list that you went through. And again, I thought you're spot on. But Rumpf is the one guy of that group that I think has a chance to be like next level dude, right? I mean, he just feels that way to me. I mean, every time you watch a Duke game, he just is all over the place making plays. All over the place.
Well, unfortunately, what we're going to end up doing with a lot of players like Chris Rumpf, who are guys that can line up in multiple positions and play in space and do a lot of different things, is we're going to start comparing them to Isaiah Simmons, right? And that's not fair, because there's really only one Isaiah Simmons who impacted the game at three levels. Chris Rumpf is a guy like Simmons, though, that has that flexibility, and I think Matt Guerrieri knows it. In fact, the closer we get to the start of the season, I'd just like to visit with Matt Guerrieri and see kind of where they feel like they're going to line him up. Now, not that he's going to tell us, but why wouldn't you want to find out the versatility the kid has got? I saw a lot in the end last year where I just thought he was making a lot of plays for them, really on several occasions, and he was doing it from multiple positions, and that was what, you know, kind of drew my eye to him, especially, Mark, as this season approaches for sure.
I know we're up against the break. I'm just going to give you a couple names real quick. Storm Duck from North Carolina. Two reasons. Number one, I think North Carolina is going to score a ton of points, and I think folks are going to have to play from behind against the heels. So I look at their secondary of guys who got to make it in plays. Not to mention, I just like to say the guy's name, Storm Duck. I mean, who doesn't like Storm Duck? But I think that dude's going to be a player. I think North Carolina's secondary will be under scrutiny in a sense of, hey, the Heels are going to score. How good is that defense going to be? The cornerbacks are going to have to be extremely good. Because, like I said, teams are going to have to play from behind. I'm going to give you one other, actually two other guys real quick. Dax Hollifield, the linebacker at Virginia Tech, I think has potential. He's one of those old school dudes that just wants to hit you in the next week. I love watching him play. Again, he just is the prototypical linebacker that wants to be in the middle of everything. And one real quick, because I know we're against the break. Brain Galloway, the Clemson tight end. I thought you saw a glimpse of it in the national championship game. The last couple years, as dynamic as Clemson has been from an offensive standpoint, they've kind of gotten away since Jordan Leggett of being able to incorporate the tight end. I suspect with Justin Ross out, I think Braden Galloway is going to be a guy from an athletic standpoint that all of a sudden you're going to hear that name a bunch this year for Clemson football going back to the tight end. So those are just three names. I'll throw one to you real quick.
Yeah, nice job taking some of Grace Rayner's material from a week ago, too. You throw Braden Galloway in there. Remember, she cited Braden Galloway as one of those players to potentially emerge for Clemson this year.
So are you saying that I'm not capable of coming up with names? Are you thinking I'm stealing from The Athletic? How dare you, Dr. Fauci? How dare you?
No. No, Dr. Fauci is not saying that this morning. All right, take a break. When we come back, the Football Thursday on Packer and Durham continues. Dave Clawson, the head football coach of Wake Forest, is going to join us. Always fun to catch up with Coach Clawson. And we're going to do it right after this on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I had extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.